نمیشه خود رو روش میشه
He says that Rasulullah told me to recite to you. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَقْرَوَ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَيْكَ أَنْزَلْ He said, oh, Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I recite the Qur'an to you when the Qur'an was revealed to you? Like, isn't that like not appropriate to something? He said, asked Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَسْمَعَ مِنْ غَيْرِي Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, this comes in the chapter of the crying of Rasulullah. He said, that I love to hear the Qur'an from other than you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love to hear the Qur'an being recited by someone other than me, that I can just listen. Why are you listening? In not yourself reciting, you know, when you recite sometimes you focus more on the recitation and on the words that must come out, that you say the correct words. But when somebody else is reciting, the only thing you're thinking about is the meaning of what is being said. So it allows you to ponder more. It allows you to ponder more, right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love to hear thee, but Allah wa alayhi that is what it really means, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's different to us. Anyway, so he says, I love to hear the Qur'an from other than you. فَقَرَأْتُ سُورَةَ النِّسَى So he says, I recited Surah An-Nisa, this is Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu saying, حَتَّى بَلَغْتُ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَا أُولَاءِ شَهِيدًا Until I reached I started reciting Surah An-Nisa until I reached the verse وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَا أُولَاءِ شَهِيدًا This verse is speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, We will bring you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَلَى هَا أُولَاءِ Over these people, meaning the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, We will bring you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a witness over them. قال فرأيت عيني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تمهلان At that juncture, I saw the eyes of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم flowing with tears. Subhanallah. So when we think of the crying of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, what caused him to cry صلى الله عليه وسلم? What caused him to cry صلى الله عليه وسلم? He is worried about and concerned about the year after. He is worried and concerned about his responsibility and the state of his ummah in the year after. On the day when reckoning will take place, that's the mercy that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for us, despite the fact that he didn't see us sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ibn Abbas, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't only cry for those things. At times he cried for things that he would deem to be normal human things as well. Let's see. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ابنة له ابن عباس رضي الله عنه narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم took hold of yet his ابنة له a daughter of his but this word ابنة is used in a figurative sense it wasn't actually his daughter it was his daughter's daughter grandchild the daughter of Zainab رضي الله عنها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم took this child Ibn Atallahu Taqdi, that was, she was on the brink of death, possibly a little child. فَاحْتَضَنَهَا Rasulullah فَاحْتَضَنَهَا Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he held her and he hugged her صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَوَضَعَهَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا They put it down in front of him. فَمَاتَتْ And she passed away. In some commentaries of the Hadith, they say that she had yet passed away, but she was on the brink of passing away. وَهِيَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ And while she was in front of him, وَصَاحَتْ أُمُّ أَيْمَنَ And at that time, Ummu Ayman, who was a female that used to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who eventually married another Sahabi, and who was the mother of Usama ibn Zayd, a great Sahabi. And his father was also a great Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wa anha ayman. She was obviously there, so she started to cry like a whale. She started to really, really bawl in tears. وصاحب أيمن فقال يعني صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he صلى الله عليه وسلم he said, أتبكين عند رسول الله? He saw some asked her, Are you crying in front of the messenger of Allah? صلى الله عليه وسلم. Here Rasulullah is asking her, Are you crying like this in front of the messenger of Allah? فقالت ألست أراك تبكي؟ So she told him صلى الله عليه وسلم Don't I see that you are also crying? صلى الله عليه وسلم Why is he crying? Because of وسائل سكت للأسف أو يسكرين شعر. قال إني لست أبكي إنما هي رحمة. يسيب I'm not crying like an obscene crying. I'm not wailing because of a lack of sabr. Because that kind of crying is prohibited. Crying because of a lack of sabr. But you can't cry because of sadness and because of your attachment and because of the loss that occurred, whilst being at the same time content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So he says, I'm not crying that obscene type of crying. إِنَّمَا هِيَ رَحْمَةً. This is a rahmah. These tears that flow out of the eyes, these are mercy. SubhanAllah, how are they mercy? Well, the fact that Rasulullah is crying and that loss is being felt, that means that the du'as are likely more accepted. So in that way it's a mercy. But as well, eyes tear when there is softness in Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us softness in Allah, and that speaks of mercy, and that you know, when we spoke, when we translate rahmah, mercy is inadequate. We've been hearing this all the time. That loving, caring, motherly mercy. Right? It speaks of that. إن المؤمن بكل خير على كل حال. Indeed, a Muslim or believer in every, he is always in goodness in every situation. إن نفسه تنزع من بين جنبيه وهو يحمد الله عز وجل. Indeed, he is meaning a Muslim is in a good place all the time. Even when his soul is being taken out from him, he is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is making hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Azza wa Jalla, Azza, the most mighty, wa Jalla, the most exalted. And so we see here from this hadith that Rasulullah, in addition to crying about things pertaining to the year after, his heart was also soft, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for worldly loss, things that affect human beings in this world. But not in a manner, not crying in a manner that showed discontentment with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Even at the time of loss, even at the time when the tears flowed from his eyes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the tears came out because of the softness of the heart. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue. And subhanAllah, we move on to the chapters that speak of the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bed was? He had a bed. Can you imagine how Rasulullah's bed was? The man who had so much work to do in the day. So much work to do in the night. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much responsibility. You can imagine that he had a nice sleep, masturbating, getting refreshed for the next day. But let's see. وبيلاه قال حدث جعفر بن محمد عن أبيه قال سئلت عائشة رضي الله عنها ما كان فراش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سئل عن جعفر بن محمد. He says that عائشة رضي الله عنها, she was asked ما كان فراش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيته. How was the bed of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in your house? قالت من أدم حشو من ليف. She said the bed of Rasulullah in my house was made of like a tanned leather, and it was stuffed with palm fibers. Ashmu min leaf, it was stuffed with palm fibers. I can't imagine that must have been very springy and soft. But that was the bed of Rasulullah in the house of Aisha radiallahu anhu. Wasu'ilat Hafsa radiallahu anha. The wife of Rasulullah, Hafsa, she was also asked, how was the bed of Rasulullah in your house? It was a coarse, like a coarse blanket. The bed of Rasulullah was a coarse blanket, a coarse cloth. Nathnihi thaniyatayni fayanamu alayhi. We just fold into two pieces, like fold in half, and then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sleep on it, on a coarse blanket. That would be his bed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فلما كان ذات ليلة so already we think in this baby is a course piece of crust is folded in two that doesn't seem very luxurious but then still what happened she says فلما كان ذات ليلة قلت لو ثنيته أربعا ثنيات she said one night I thought to myself perhaps I should fold it up into four you know instead of folding it in two and one piece and just one fold perhaps I should fold it into four right لكان أوطأ له صلى الله عليه وسلم فثنيناه له بأربع ثنيات If only I fold it into four pieces, perhaps it's going to be nice and soft for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will be much softer for him to lie on a sheet that's folded into four rather than just in two. So I did that. I folded it into four. فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ قَالَ But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up, meaning he woke up after sleeping on that thing folded in four, he said, مَا فَرَشْتُمْ لِيَ اللَّيْلَ What did you give me as a bed today? What did you give me to sleep on today? قالت قلنا هو فراشك. She said, it is your bed, sir. It's your bed, your normal bed. إلا أن ثنيناه بأربع ثنيات. Except that I folded it into four this time. قلنا هو أوطأ لك. She said, I folded it into four so that it could be softer for you. قال ردوه لحالته الأولى. Yes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Return to its original state. Just have it in two folds. I mean, one fold, basically, two layers. فَإِنَّهُ مَنَعَتْنِي وَطَاءَتُهُ صَلَاتِيَ لَيْلَ Because the softness of that bed prevented me from my salat. That night. SubhanAllah. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He already doesn't have our nice double bed with springs and a soft top. Thank you, Guillaume. It's been like one of the more than double analysis. But also didn't have such a luxurious bed. And even when that coarse blanket that he slept on, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just became too soft, he decided, no. Why? Because that would keep him back, it would deter him from his salah, the softness of that blanket. Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was more concerned with his hereafter, with his ibadah, with expressing his devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with expressing his ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then experiencing a night of, I don't know if you can even call it comfort because it's still a coarse blanket. It's just folded into four. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. أن امرأة جاءت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت Yeah, we move on to speak about the تواضع, the humility of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, he says, look up, just imagine the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He had to convey guidance that was to be the guidance for humanity till the end of times. Not just for his people, not just for the people in Arabia. Even that would be a hard task. Imagine I tell you, your life task is to convey to everybody in the present world a message. Without the TV, without the phone, without the radio. At times you don't have a horse yourself either. You stay in the desert. Isn't that like a mean feat? If you were to accomplish it, that's a difficult task. But look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at his humility. Not just did he have responsibility, also, he was khayrul khalqi kullihim. He was the best of creation, the most perfect of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anybody wanted to say, look, I'm busy, I don't have time, he could have said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look at him. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu relates that a woman once came to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A woman came to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqalat lahu, and she said to him, إِنَّ لِي إِلَيْكَ حَاجَةً She said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have some need for you. I require your time, I need something from you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ إِجْلِسِي فِي أَيِّ طَرِيقِ الْمَدِينَةِ So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said what? Sit in any of the streets of Medina. sitting any road or any pathway in Medina, Shi'ita, any road that you desire, actually, I'll sit there with you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells his lady, you have a deed for me. Sit down in any street of Medina and I will sit there and attend to your needs. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that, you know what? It's not that you are a lady who maybe has a lesser rank in society and I'm the Nabi of Allah, how can I make time for you? You know, get somebody else to sort out yourself. No. He said, you know what? You have a problem, you have a need for me. Sit down in any street, I will sit there with you. We can discuss your problem. You can tell what your problem is and we'll see to you later. That's how Rasulullah's tawadhu was. That's how his tawadhu was. His humility. He would make time even for the ladies' needs. And actually that is of utmost importance. That the people in leadership positions make time for the needs of women. And we learned that from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We move on to the khuluq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The internal character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An Anas ibn Malik, well, this is not actually to do with the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu qala, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعود المرضى. Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه, he says that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to visit the sick. He used to make time to visit the sick. ويشهد الجنائز. And he صلى الله عليه وسلم would witness the burial processions. He صلى الله عليه وسلم would go to the janazas. ويركب الحمار. He صلى الله عليه وسلم would ride even a donkey. وَيُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الْعَبْدِ. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would respond to the invitation of the slaves. Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't a person with ease about himself. You know, if people are going to invite me, okay, is the food going to be that great? What area is it in? Who are the people that's inviting me? Am I being invited by the poor person? No, that wasn't him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would accept the invitation even of the slaves. He would make time to go to the janazah. He would make time to visit the sick sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had no ease about him. He didn't say, no, you know what? I am actually the leader of the entire Medina, of all of the Muslims, a large portion of the Arab world. So I actually need the best horse to ride. Because, well, I'm the leader, I should have a nice horse. No, that wasn't him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He even rode a donkey sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When? Let's see when. وَكَانَ يَوْمَ بَنِي قُرَيْضَةَ وَكَانَ يَوْمَ بَنِي قُرَيْضَةَ عَلَى حِمَارٍ مَقْطُومٍ بِحَبْلٍ مِنْ لِيفٍ وَعَلَيْهِ إِفَافٌ مِنْ لِيفٍ. When would he ride this donkey? Not just when he was going around in his own place, you know, maybe you have two cars, you have one for the weekend, you're going to go out to posh places, and one you're just doing your runarounds in town. Not like that, sir. When would he ride his donkey? When he was going to, on a day of war, to expel the Banu Quraiza, the tribe that betrayed the Muslims, when he was going out to face them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he would go riding on a donkey, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That had that was tied, or that had a saddle and a bridle of, made of palm fiber. Speaking about the fact that Rasulullah didn't have ease about it. Yeah, ease about it. No, I can't do something because my car is not good enough. You know, I'm just going to look weird if I go there with this car of mine. No. Rasulullah went to meet the enemies of Islam on a donkey. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that didn't take away anything from his beauty, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That didn't take away anything from his majesty, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That didn't take away anything from the awe that surrounded him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to those people that opposed him. Despite all of that, Rasulullah says, Nusirtu bi ru'mi masirat ash-sham. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was aided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with awe that preceded him by an entire month. Meaning that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go out to face an enemy, a month before the time, the enemy would already be feared. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. An Amra qalat, qila li Aisha radiallahu anha, ماذا كان يحمل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيته؟
الله
جد في بلد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عمرة والد كريسيوس عائشة رضي الله عنها. She says that Aisha رضي الله عنها was asked, what did رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do in his house? Like, oh, what did he do in the house? إليه ماذا سلاح؟ President of the world. صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال كان بشرا من البشر. She said he was a man from amongst the men. يفلي وهو يفلي. لا أعلم ما تقولين. He says يفلي ثوبه. He would remove the lice from his own clothes. صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويحلي شاته. He would go milk the ويحلي شاته. He would milk his goats. Himself. ويخدم نفسه. And he صلى الله عليه وسلم would serve himself, he would see to his own needs, to his stuff. He didn't expect things to just be done for him, صلى الله عليه وسلم. He also used to do stuff himself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us these qualities. At times we fall short. But hearing that our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that our Messenger, our beloved صلى الله عليه وسلم did these things, should make us want to do it. At least if we decide, you know what? Perhaps, maybe not all the time, you know, perhaps you have to find the rules in your home and, you know, I take care of going out to work and the wife does these things with him. But some days, at least you must think to yourself, you know what, today she's out, I'm going to wash all the dishes. I'm going to perhaps wash the clothes, or hang up the clothes, or take off the clothes, or mop the floor, or whatever it is. I'm going to do that with a due intention, serving my household. And emulating my beloved and you will get reward upon reward for that. The action in and of itself is a good thing. But the intention of emulating Rasulullah will earn you more reward. So think about that. When there's work to do in the home, intend to assist in that work. And hearing that our Prophet who was more busy than us, had more responsibility than us, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could do it. So we should be able to do it as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person of his great status, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could be found doing a chores of the house, then what about people of our low status? It's more befitting of us to do those things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. عن خارج ابن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله تعالى دخل نفر على زيد بن ثابت رضي الله عنه. A group of people entered upon زيد بن ثابت. فقالوا له حدثنا أحاديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Tell us some facts. Tell us some things about رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال ماذا أحدثكم؟ He said to them, what was I telling? كنت جاره. فكان إذا نزل عليه الوحي بعث إلي فكتبته له. I was his neighbor, and when a revelation would come down to him, or when the revelation would be revealed to him, he would send for me, and I would then write down. I would write it down for him. فكنا إذا ذكرنا الدنيا ذكرها معنا. صلى الله عليه وسلم. When we would speak about the dunya, then he would speak about the dunya with us. وَإِذَا ذَكَرْنَا الْآخِرَةِ ذَكَرَهَا مَعْنَا. When we would speak about the year after, he صلى الله عليه وسلم would speak about the year after with us. وَإِذَا ذَكَرْنَا الطَّعَامَ ذَكَرَهُ مَعْنَا. When we speak about food, he'd speak about food with us. صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَكُلُّ هَذَا أُحَدِّثُكُمْ عَنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. All of these things I tell you about the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Showing again that he صلى الله عليه وسلم was someone that speaks to these people. He wasn't always harsh to people. Talking about food. We didn't get time for this. Hey, stop. No, he was easy with people. And you know, we see something happening here. When Rasulullah was engaged in his ibadah, it was serious. It wasn't jokes over there. He didn't fall short in his ibadah. And he's dealing with people. He wasn't harsh with other people. So he was hard on himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the way he performed his ibadah, but he wasn't hard on other people. So example. The perfect example for how to attain and maintain balance in this world. To bring about happiness for everyone, for yourself and for others. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu qala. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says, look at this, subhanAllah. خدمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 سنين. If anybody has a domestic work at the house, what we call a maid, just think of how we treat those people sometimes. Think of it. Think of it. Other places we have to sell them out to sometimes. You know, they wash our plates. They wash our utensils. But at times it's a separate plate to feed them out. Think about that. I think about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says, I served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. فَمَا قَالَ لِي أُفٍ قَطُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't once say to me, uff. What's uff? Uff is like, it's like, he didn't show any sign of dissatisfaction. I served him for 10 years sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't once show a sign of dissatisfaction. وَمَا قَالَ لِي شَيْءٍ صَنَعْتُهُ لِمَا صَنَعْتَهُ. He didn't even say to me about something that I did. Why did you do that? وَلَا لِي شَيْءٍ تَرَبْتُهُ لِمَا تَرَبْتَهُ. He didn't say to me about anything that I didn't do. Why didn't you do that? SubhanAllah. What the hell? SubhanAllah. I would have paid to be in these slave songs. But I mean, just look at how he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had someone that served him and he never ever showed dissatisfaction with that person's actions. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ أَحْسَنِ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا. Anas ibn Malik, the one who served Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the one that serves a person would know very well the character of a person, because he is somewhat under the authority of that person. At times when someone is under your authority, sometimes we feel we have the right to look down upon them or to mistreat them or something like that. Right? But when you're working for someone, generally you're nice and familiar with that person. But Rasulullah, this is the person that served Rasulullah, speaking about Rasulullah, he says what? Rasulullah was a person who had the most beautiful character. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا مَسَسْتُ خَزًّا وَلَا حَرِيرًا وَلَا شَيْئًا كَانَ أَلْيَنَ مِنْ كَفِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ سَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He says, I didn't touch any piece of cloth, of wool, or silk, or anything like that. Or anything that was softer than the palm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا شَمَمْتُ مِسْكًا قَطُّ وَلَا عِطْرًا كَانَ أَطْيَبَ مِنْ عَرَقِ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this guy. He says, I didn't get the whiff of any musk or of any fragrance that had a more pleasant smell than the sweat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us dua on him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us love our Prophet like Anas radiallahu anhu. And Aisha radiallahu anha qala. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ma ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam muntasiran bil mazlamati dhulimaha. She says, I never saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like retaliate for a wrong that was done to him. مَا لَمْ يُنْتَهَكْ مِنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. As long as it didn't transgress the sanctity or the sanctified rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as it didn't go into what was haram. فَإِذَا انْتُهِكَ مِنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. But when it would transgress, when it would cross the line and be opposing the maharim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those things that Allah made haram, كان من أشدهم في ذلك ظلما. Then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would be of the most severe people in his anger. وما خير بين أمرين. Look at this. Beauty of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He had anger صلى الله عليه وسلم, but he had anger for the right things. He didn't have anger because my food was cold. Astaghfirullah. He didn't have anger because there was too little salt in the food. He had anger when Allah's laws were broken. And that anger is beautiful. But look at this. وَمَا خُيُّرَ بَيْنَ أَمْرَيْهِ He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never given the option between two things. إِلَّا اخْتَارَ أَيْسَرَهُمَا مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مَأْثَمًا If Rasulullah sallam was given the option between two things, he would always choose the easier one, as long as there was no sin in it. SubhanAllah. If possible, I'd just like to continue a little bit, too short a hand, is it fine? عن محمد بن مكدر قال سمعت جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه يقول ما سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا قط فقال لا جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه he says that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was never asked for something and then he said no imagine that رسول الله when even he was asked for something he would never say no صلى الله عليه وسلم You know, at times someone would ask him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him and he'd give and he'd give and he'd give. And at times he wouldn't have and then he'd go get something to give that person. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Speaks of his beautiful character, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was never asked for something and then said no. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even this one, Ali ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa qala, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwad al-nas min khayr. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous person with his wife. What he was. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانَ Beautiful that day. And just to end on this, because of the fact that we still find ourselves in Ramadan, we shouldn't think that the 27th night has passed in Ramadan. We still have a couple of moments. Right? So what did he say? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous person. But he was the most generous that he ever was in the month of Ramadan. حتى ينسلخ until it would pass. فيأتيه جبريل فيعرض عليه القرآن. And then جبريل عليه السلام would come to him and he would In the matter of Ramadan, he would be more generous than he ever was. And Jibreel would come to him and he would present the Quran to him. فَإِذَا لَقِيَهُ جِبْرِيلُ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَجْوَدَ بِالْخَيْرِ مِنَ الْرِيحِ الْمُوسَى When Jibreel عليه السلام would come to him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would be more generous with goodness, more generous with wealth and whatever goodness it was. مِنَ الْرِيحِ الْمُوسَى than a scent wind. That is said to be Musa or Muslim? Musa. Musa. That means Rih Musa. That is said to be. What does it mean? He was more generous than a said to be. What does this wind signify? It's going to drive clouds your way. And when the clouds come, what comes with it? Rain. And what comes with the rain? Well, you get water. Number one. Your lands become fertile. Your crops grow. You get food from that. You can sell some of your crops to get money. There's so much that you get from it. When Jibreel came and met Rasulullah was more generous than even that. And you know what? That wind brings the rain, the clouds to the entire world. And Rasulullah's mercy and his rahmah also spread to the entire world. And even beyond it. This world and the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us appreciate you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we love him, so we should be loved. At that time, I would be so cold here. Do you guys know what to say to him? Well, then he actually did it. It's an English piece of poetry. And it's actually a poem written by a young girl. And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, Even when I had the gentleman, he said, you know, it must have been that this girl was somehow inspired because it doesn't sound like the writing of Lenin. I don't know. But it's here. The poem is entitled Golden Glint. pleasure of light. Kemudian Imran, a golden queen sits in the sky, casting its rays like a shimmering tide, glimmering against the mosaic of the mosque's domes. People come out of the clay built homes. The golden sun shining ripples in the sand. Palm trees staring at the horizon across the land. Shadows of turbans frolicking on the sandy floor as the piercing sun glares through the door. The awaiting crowd sits peacefully in awe. He must be coming, they are sure. Melodies echo through the valley farewell, the beginning of what will be the greatest story to tell. Cheering and chanting, the Ansar is soaking. Such beauty unrivaled, they had never seen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is speaking about when the Ansar were awaiting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They couldn't contain their feelings, and they were just waiting for Rasulullah to come. And what a moment it must have been in this way. You know, another piece of poetry that comes to mind. This piece of poetry is a time ascribed to the poet of Rasulullah, but I think wrongly so. But even so, it's a beautiful piece of poetry. فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ أَنْوَارَهُمْ سَطْرَى. And speaking of Rasulullah coming over the hill and the person seeing him for the first time, he says, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ أَنْوَارَهُمْ سَطْرَى. When I saw his nur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing in all its brightness, وَضَعْتُ مِنْ خِيفَتِي كَفِّي عَلَى بَصَرِي. I placed my hands over my eyes out of fear of my sight, perhaps it's going to blind me. وَضَعْتُ مِنْ خِيفَتِي كَفِّي عَلَى بَصَرِي خَوْفًا عَلَى بَصَرِي مِنْ حُسْنِ صُورَتِي. Out of fear for my sight because of the beauty of because of his beauty, the beauty of his form. فَلَسْتُ أَنْظُرُهُ إِلَّا عَلَى قَدَرِي. I couldn't look at him except little glances at a time. روح من النور في جسم من القمر. A روح of نور in a body in a moonly body. كأنه حلية نسجت من الأنجم الزهري. As if it was a piece of jewelry made up with that is studded with stars. Subhanallah. Afford us to see his beauty sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world now. Dreams, wherever it may be, but let us be close to him on the day of the end. That we will not be deprived, let our eyes not be faulty, let our eyes not be broken, such that they can't recognize his beauty, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if we are not afforded that opportunity to see him in our dreams, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can't complain, because these words of these companions of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of you. Their words have painted for us a picture of himself, of the outside and of the inside. And we should be ever grateful for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us grateful and increase us in love for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not deprive us of seeing him and being with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We even that. Wa jazakumullahu khayr wa akhiru li'amani alhamdulillahi wa ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.